It's time for the Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. The views expressed at the Financial Cafe are those of the hosts and do not represent the views of Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, the SIU Board of Trustees, or WSIE Radio. Securities offered through Nickel Investors Corporation at No. 1 Executive Park, Granite City, Illinois, member FINRA and SIPC.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
I'd be rich.
And now, welcome to the Financial Cafe and our hosts, Larry Lexo and John Graney.
Good morning, John Graney.
Good morning, Larry Lexo. How are you this?
I am doing outstanding. I tell you, we have a fun-filled, fact-ridden show today.
I'm pissed.
Dealing with some what?
I'm pissed.
Dealing with a wide variety of issues, everything from imagine that taxes to issues on Obamacare. We're going to talk about some scams, some things coming up for the holidays. I can't believe 3 weeks away from Thanksgiving, John. I don't know. What are we going to do?
I'm pissed.
We're getting ready. Yeah, we're going to get into that. But and thanks to the Chef Shop, because Nancy...
That is the bright spot in our show today.
It is a bright spot. Nancy and Scott, thank you much for underwriting the show. Gosh, going on a year and a half now. And I believe, I was just telling John, I believe all of our prior shows... The blogs have been posted to our website. Go out there, www.thefinancialcafe.us. That's thefinancialcafe.us. And if you hit the button for podcasts, it will come up by month. And then if you select the month, it will give you the shows from that month. And there will be a very brief descriptor of each show, like, you know, for example, annuities, if you want to listen to information about annuities, life insurance for the same, investments, 401ks, IRAs. I mean, we pretty much cover the bases in our, gosh, I haven't counted them, John, but we got to be up to 70, 80 shows now. So a lot of topics, some repeat, but that bears repeating on a number of those. So thanks to the Chef Shop, they have a lot of fun stuff coming up this weekend.
I got their November news right here.
All right, give it to us.
So, is it called Wusthof?
I believe it is Wusthof, yes.
Okay, I like knives, mostly for hunting and so forth, but I am not a connoisseur. But anyway, you can win a Wusthof. They are running a special this Saturday from 9 to 3. All the Wusthof knives will be 20% off. And then two lucky attendees will win an actual knife.
So who else besides you and me?
Well, I don't think we're eligible.
Oh, okay.
Seasonal fudge flavors. They have pumpkin cheesecake through Thanksgiving.
I saw that.
And then carrot cake fudge is now part of the lineup.
Oh, carrot cake fudge, really?
Uh-huh.
All right, we got to go get some of that.
Okay. Be there with bells on. We're kicking off the happiest Christmas season. Holiday items.
It's festive. Happiest season.
Well, I was thinking of Christmas Vacation when Clark goes on his rant and he does the, this is the happiest Christmas. Where's the Tylenol? I can't use some of the words that he said.
Got it. Yeah, I get it.
They are doing the annual knife sharpening event. Professional sharpening, $3 per knife on Saturday, November 18th. And that is...
right before Thanksgiving. Good time to do it.
Yeah. So... And then, let's see, Wrapped in Love, they're supporting friends at African Vision of Hope this holiday season with 100% of all gift wrapping donations collected in the shop going directly to that organization.
They are so good to the community. They really support the community, all aspects of it, and different groups. So thanks to them, they are located at 2320 Troy Road, Edwardsville, Illinois, in the Schnucks Plaza, right next to Target. And again, thanks for underwriting the show, giving us the opportunity to share a little financial good sense, we hope, along with enjoying the coffee, the popcorn, and the fudge. Just talking to Stephanie a little bit ago, who is now representing the illustrious WSIE 88.7 FM, The Sound, and selling airtime. So if Steph stops by to talk to you, be sure and give her your time of day and talk to her a little bit about the show.
And one last thing, make sure you get your popcorn orders in early. In talking with Scott and Nancy, they get very busy, and they are making popcorn almost 24/7 during the holiday season. So make sure if you're going to be doing corporate gifts or family and you're going to be using popcorn, get those orders in early.
Well, I've been there last holiday, I guess it was between Thanksgiving and Christmas last year, and I wanted to get some for gifts, and there is like a 2-hour wait because I did not order in advance. So I strongly suggest call them up, tell them what you want, and tell them, you know, you'll pick it up later today or tomorrow or Saturday or whatever. And they'll have it for you. That way you can just go in, pick it up, and check out. Or if you want to spend the 2 hours, you will not run out of things to do in the shop. There's plenty there to do.
So sample some fudge.
Sample some fudge, get a little bit of coffee to sample, and then buy everything.
There you go.
We now have a second underwriter, John. We've been talking about it. Tommy Brown. Tommy is a certified tax resolution specialist. He does reside in our building here located in Edwardsville. It is tax season. It is time. If you want to learn more about what he does, we do have one show out there. Did an interview with Tommy in early October, I believe it was, talking about his ability to help people to circumvent the IRS when either mistakes have been made or, unintentional issues have come up. In fact, I had a client yesterday that came in. She was telling me a little bit about, so we're doing retirement planning, imagine that, getting her ready for a couple of years from now. But she was telling me about her younger sister who lives in California. And her younger sister, had the same tax person file their taxes for a number of years and evidently did not do a very good job.
Oy.
And the IRS has placed a lien on her condo. And says that she owes him $40,000.
Ouch.
And she does not have $40,000. She sells real estate in the area she's in California and not seeing much happen. So she is freaking out. She's losing sleep. She can't eat. So I did give her one of Tommy's cards. I don't know. It's up to him. I said, call him at least. If he can't help you, he can refer you to somebody he can, because with the tax resolution, the offer and compromise programs, different things the IRS will do and can do to help you out. It was an honest mistake their tax preparer evidently made. So they can, knock that 40 grand down to maybe less than 5 grand. It just depends on the facts and circumstances, but get a hold of Tommy Brown, certified tax.
That accountant is going to pay it because it's his fault.
Well, I would hope, but if you want to at least get the IRS off your back, give Tommy a call, 618-407-3674.
I would like to, one of the topics that we'll talk about in the news segment is the new bill proposed by the House. I would like to have a sit down with him, maybe take him out to lunch and just say, hey, what do you think about this? Because here's what I'm seeing and I'm not happy.
Well, I did kind of get that impression, John, that you were not happy. So tell me, what is in the new Republican tax proposal? I don't worry too much about these. Maybe I should, but I don't worry too much about them until they actually become law and then I figure out what to do with it. But it probably bears some further discussion to see what's coming down the road and let your congressmen, senators know that you are or are not in favor of it. So what's it say?
Well, to start off, I guess it was last week, I put out on LinkedIn when Trump came out and said, we will not mess with 401ks. They will stay the same. We heard that once before
You can take that to the bank.
Yes. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Well, I remember that one.
Don't get me started.
I am now convinced that all politicians are the same. So anyway, my first article here is House Republicans, White House reportedly compromise on reducing the deductibility of your 401k contribution. So right now, the current limit is $18,000.
It is.
They are talking about dropping that down to $2,400.
What?
Yes.
That's less than an IRA.
Yes.
So what are you going to do after the business closes, John?
but they want to, have it be like a Roth contribution. All this is supposed to help the middle class, and everything that I'm going to talk about is going to hurt the middle class. When I do enrollment meetings and I sit down with, you know, your manufacturing guy, your blue collar guy, it's what is the match? And then how much is it going to reduce my taxes? They're pretty much, and then the last one is how do I do my investments?
They get that. Yeah.
And so they're pretty much the consistent three questions that we receive.
Yeah, they're in tune with, so with now, what's going on.
We have a savings issue in America. People are not saving enough.
Big time.
So why would we set something up that reduces the likelihood of people saving?
Well, anyone in their right mind, I'm not talking about that right, but right or left, would not.
So, and it's the Democrats that are proposing raising, which I'm all for. So, like I said, I am agreeing with the Democrats on a lot of these issues. And
I never thought you'd utter those words, John.
So I just, you know, well, wait till we go through the tax one. So that got me going. And then that had a link to this article, which is the 8 most important things to know about the GOP tax plan. The House just came out with their proposal. So the first one is individual tax rates. It looks like 12%. Is going to be the lowest marginal rate. So you got 12, 25, and 35. That's what everyone's talking about. Mm. Under 75,000 would be taxed at 12%. Right now, the lowest tax rate is 10.
Mm-hmm.
So who's getting hosed by that one?
Sounds like an increase to me.
Yeah. Okay. So that's... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Personal and dependent exemptions. They are calling this the anti-Mormon rule. So right now, if you're married, and I'm going to go married filing jointly because, you know, it's all about me. So right now, married filing joint couples, same deduction, $12,700, and then $4,050 for each child. So in my situation, that would give me $28,900.
Okay. I'm with you so far.
Okay. Now, under the proposal, the $4,050 for each kid goes away. And everything would be wrapped up into a $24,000 standard deduction for married. So I just lost $4,900 of exemption, which means that $4,900 is going to be taxed at my highest marginal rate, at call it 25%. That means my taxes are going up $1,225.
I'm glad they're decreasing your burden.
Okay. I'm middle class. I am stereotypical middle class. So that doesn't help me very much. And then I can't, if the deductions for 401k go through, I don't get to deduct as much that I'm deducting for contributions now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do a mix of Roth and traditional. Okay, itemized deductions. Okay, now this is what gets me, because this is supposed to be for the middle class. What are they going to keep? They're going to keep home mortgage interest, charitable contributions, okay, state and local tax. Can't deduct that anymore.
That's an increase.
And we live in a high state.
Oh, tell me about it.
Okay.
Yep.
Not California high, but we're still
pretty close.
Up there.
Pretty darn
but
close.
You ready for this? Real estate taxes is okay. Who owns a lot of real estate?
I wonder.
Poor people?
No.
No. Middle class? No.
Wow.
Okay. So we did, and 401k plan contribution, we already talked about that. The child tax credit, they are talking about raising that level. Married filing jointly, if you make under $110,000, you get the child tax credit. That's as of today. They're talking about raising that. AMT goes away. Ready for this one?
I'm ready.
Repeal the estate tax.
Repeal the estate tax. But the estate tax only applies to those who have an estate that exceeds individually 4.9 million or 10 million for a couple, which is probably less than half of 1% of my clients.
But that's going to help the middle class.
Sure.
That aren't subject to estate tax.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're going to make you exempt even though you wouldn't have had to pay it before.
So anyway, if you live in a high state tax, you're a loser. If you have a lot of kids, you're a loser in regards to the bill, not your personal
yeah, watch
loser.
It down.
Yeah, I know. I'm just... Mm.
Steam coming out of his ears.
Let's see. So yeah, this, you know, and the Democrats have been screaming that this is a tax plan for the wealthy. And, you know, I didn't really read it in detail until this morning. I just could, oh, you know, that's the right blaming the left. It doesn't. I'm agreeing with the Democrats here. Agreeing with the left that this is not a good deal.
Sounds like what they proposed is favoring those who own a lot of real estate, penalizing those who are, as you indicated, middle class.
So more of my income is going to be taxable by at least just on that one issue alone with the exemption,
child care,
about $5,000. Then any 401k, you know, the more I contribute to my 401k, the more I'm not going to get any tax benefit from it because they're going to drop this down to $2,400. And this isn't, everything that they're doing isn't really cutting taxes. It's cutting taxes for business mm-hmm. owners, mm-hmm. wealthy, corporations, CEOs and so forth. You know, their bonuses are going to go up and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm
not happy.
Not happy. And then I got another article here, 4 ways to change 401k plans for the better. I really wish people that write these articles had a clue about the industry. So anyway, the 4 issues: expand contribution limits. All right, I agree with that one.
We're in favor of that.
That's not going to happen, but I'm agree with it. Okay. Offer retirement plans to everyone. Okay, now the person who wrote this is getting into the state-run retirement plans. Mm-hmm. We've made it very clear how we feel about that, and I still stand behind that it's a joke.
Well, and everyone really today, anyone who has earned income, has access to a retirement plan. It's mm-hmm. called an IRA. They can choose whether they want to put in pre-tax and take the deduction or do a Roth up to the same limit and not take the deduction today, let it accumulate tax-free for the future if that is the case. So scratch that one off because everybody already has that.
Yeah, I disagree with it. Three things. If you make it voluntary as opposed to mandatory, I like choices. I don't like things being forced down my throat. Make sure the states who are running these are held to the ERISA standard that
everybody else
us
is.
In the public sector and, I mean, private sector are held to. And then I'm so fired up, I forgot my last one. Oh, and then make sure that there isn't a percentage of investments that's being forced into treasuries.
Right. Yeah.
So, and then of course, fee disclosure. So there's 4 things there.
Sounds like the bottom line is it's all about choice.
Teach financial literacy. Okay. Obviously,
in favor.
The person that wrote this article doesn't understand. If you're talking to a manufacturer, you're talking to someone that's not in this industry, they don't want to be, for the most part, they don't want to be taught finance 101. They want to sit down with you very briefly and say, okay, here's my situation. What do I need to do? So why don't we let advisors be held to the fiduciary standard, strictly held, you know, put the laws on the book. Don't delay this thing for 18 months.
Best interest.
Makes everyone that's given the advice is held to best interest. And it's that problem solved. That's what, when I sit with the enrollees, it's not, oh, so what is a dividend? They're saying, what do I need to do? If I contribute this much of my paycheck, how much is it really going to hurt me? Because I used to get a tax deduction, but I don't now. But, and then the last one, this one. Give choice of traditional 401k and Roth 401k. Now, I went back. I'm like, is this an old article? I went back just to make sure and know the article was published November 1, 2017.
And who published this? Who's the author?
The author is Alessandra Malito. Malito. Anyway, Alessandra, that already exists today.
Yeah.
You can have a Roth 401k. You can have a traditional 401k.
I'm not sure if it's a he or a she, but he or she is right on half the things they said because they already exist.
So
can't go wrong with that.
I'm going to take a breath.
Take a breath, John.
I know you wanted to wrap up some things. So anyway, November is going to be fraud month, as you mentioned, scams and so forth.
That's why we're talking about taxes.
That's why we're talking about the government. The biggest fraud.
Yeah.
Anyway, We haven't gotten to Social Security, but we will.
Oh,
when we talk about
Ponzi
schemes.
So many things to say, John. That's just,
but you wanted to wrap up some stuff left over from October.
My mind is racing.
October, which was the insurance month.
Yeah, and the best way to nice way to bring me back there, John.
The
best way to talk about long-term care insurance. We covered life insurance in infinitum. Is that a word? And the different types
it
and
is now.
Necessity for term versus whole life, variable or universal, so forth and so on. I would just caution you there. Make sure you're buying it for the right kind, for the right reason, and don't get confused by the fact that companies are now throwing on a lot of add-ons to their life insurance policies, some of them providing long-term care coverage. They say, you know, if you buy this policy, and we'll provide you with $100,000 of death benefit or survivor benefit, as I prefer to call it. We will then allow you, if you are diagnosed with a terminal illness, that's a key word, it has to be terminal, diagnosed by a physician in the profession, or in some cases, if you are diagnosed as having lost two of the ADLs. ADLs are defined as activities of daily living. And that's common in the long-term care discussion. If you lose two or more ADLs, then you may be eligible to access part of the death benefit. So if I've paid for $100,000 of death benefit and I become incapacitated or injured or ill to the extent that I lose, you know, two or more ADLs, diagnosed with a terminal illness, then all I'm doing on those policies is I'm getting the death benefit early. So you're really not getting a whole lot else other than they put the language in there that allows you to get it before you die, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but just know what you're getting before you buy it. You know, get with a good agent who's been in the business more than a month, because there's a lot of them out there who it's like, hi, I'm with so-and-so, and I now am an insurance agent. I got my license, and I'm with a company, and I'm telling you exactly what they told me to tell you because I really don't understand what I'm doing. Not to say there aren't some good ones, but it does take time in the business to gain experience, the expertise to be able to analyze what's going on. So I'll depart from the life insurance side of things we touched on last week and move over to long-term care. I think personally, I had this discussion with a client yesterday. They are concerned. You know, you look at Money Magazine, you look at Kiplinger, you look at the Wall Street Journal, the Post, the New York Times, I don't care where it is. They're talking about the need in retirement for health care expenses, that many people are indeed planning for a long, healthy retirement that may last 25 or even 30 years, but they are not accounting for the fact that they may encounter illness along the way. And the average 65-year-old couple is going to spend somewhere in the neighborhood of $250,000 on health care over the time that they are in retirement. And I told this individual, I said, well, that's true. It's likely they will, but you also have to keep in mind how you're prepared for it. You know, don't fall victim to the fear mongers out there trying to sell you something. You have to look at it realistically. The fact of the matter is, you know, my mother-in-law, who, you know, as many know, was with us for 5 years. She had Medicare, as I will have when I reach 65, and most everybody will. You're paying 1.45% of your income. Your employer is also paying 1.45%, so that's 2.9, almost 3% of every dollar everyone earns into the Medicare pot to be able to provide health care. So you have Medicare as your base. Granted, it does not include, does not cover everything, which is why you need a good Medicare supplement. And again, be careful what you're being sold. You know, I wouldn't take the call somewhere. I don't know how they get the databases, but they know that you're 64 years old and it starts. And they, you know, people on the phone, well, I want to talk to you about your Medicare supplement. And they have no idea who you are, anything about you. It is far from a in my best interest type of sales pitch. So know what you're buying. But if you have a good Medicare supplement over the course of her years of retirement, which, you know, to age 93, that's a lot of years in retirement, there was very, very little that she paid out of pocket because it was either covered by Medicare or the supplement that she had, which was from Blue Cross Blue Shield, did a nice job for her. And yeah, she had hundreds of thousands of dollars of medical expenses in retirement, but they were covered. You know, don't be afraid of being in retirement if you do the right things. You know, you've got Medicare, and then you get the supplement, you know, your prescription Part D program, kind of, you know, evaluate that. That's going to cover a lot of cases. And even in the case of going into a nursing home, we can't predict. You know, we can prepare, as the motto says. So being prepared for that type of event, assisted living, you're probably looking at $4,000 or $5,000 a month. Where can you live and have all your meals prepared and recreational activities for less than, you know, $4,000 a month? I mean, it's not much different than living at home. And when you, by the time you get to assisted, again, if you have some income, you might be okay. The whole point is, don't be fear-mongered into buying something that you don't need, and don't be fear-mongered into thinking that you're going to run out of money because you haven't planned. So putting together a good, solid plan is the way to address that. If you feel so inclined to look at long-term care insurance, there are basic policies out there, which are what we call traditional long-term care. They provide a waiting period, you know, how long before the long-term care policy kicks in. That's the waiting period. And it's usually triggered by, again, loss of at least two of the activities of daily living. And it could be as short as 60, 90 days, could be as long as a year, appropriate to your particular situation and your other types of coverages. So at that point, it kicks in. Another factor is, how long will it pay? Policies can be as short as 1 year or 2 years, up to 5 years. I don't see a lot of policies that are willing to pay you for longer than 5 years today, although initially the original policies, you know, would pay to for life, but we don't see much of that today. Then you have a daily payment. You know, how much is it going to pay per day? Is it, you know, you wouldn't want anything less than $100 a day, certainly up to $200 or $300 a day. And does it pay only in the nursing home when you're in skilled care, or does it pay what we call home and community-based services? So you have a nurse or physical therapist or attention at home. The policy has to be able to cover those types of things. And then does it have the ability of covering both you and your partner? Or is it a pooled type account where you have a set amount? You know, the policy you buy gives you $140,000 or $200,000 benefit to be used by one or the other. If the first person uses half of it, then you only have half left for the survivor. So it's a very complex type of product. It's a very complex type of need. It requires, guess what, John, a financial plan. You know,
here it comes.
Specific time frames. It has to be in writing. Specific time frames, specific goals that you are working towards. You need to have it set up so that you can implement the plan, and then you monitor it on an ongoing basis as you go forward. Know the facts. There's a lot of miscommunication, a lot of incorrect facts out there dealing with clients. It's not uncommon. I've had this happen several times in just the last month, where a client came in, they were divorced, and we were talking about their retirement, and they're like, well, I'm divorced. I'm not going to be eligible to get any Social Security based on my ex-spouse's benefit. That's not true. And they kind of look at me like, really? So my advice to them is, you know, gather your information, make an appointment with the Social Security office, go in, sit down face to face with them, let them tell you what you are or are not eligible for, because you are eligible for at least half of that spouse's Social Security. And in the case of a number of our clients, they work for the university. They work for the school system. So they're covered under the state university retirement system. They're covered under the teacher's retirement system. They're covered under the IMRF, the Municipal Retirement Fund, because they work for state government or local government. Those are cases where they didn't pay into Social Security. They may or may not have reached eligibility, and if so, their benefit would be fairly minimum. But if they could collect on their former spouse's benefit, it could be significantly higher. So the financial plan, working through all the numbers, looking at all of the options, and preferably doing it a year to 3 years before you're ready to implement it. you know, before you're ready to pull a plug and say, okay, I'm out of here. You don't want to do that and then say, well, let's see if I can really afford to do this. Because it's a little late at that point.
Yeah, you don't want to shoot, aim.
You don't want to shoot. Yeah, ready, aim, shoot. Ready, shoot, aim, whichever. So we do, I believe, have an earlier show that was recorded about a year ago out there. It goes into very, very great detail on long-term care insurance. If you want to learn more, pull that up or send John or myself an email. It's jgraney@nickelfinancial.com. Or LLexo@nickelfinancial.com. We'd be happy to answer it in more detail, get you some background information. So to wrap up October, even though it's November now, long-term care is one of the areas that you should take a look at. Plan for the future. Don't be surprised by what may happen because you didn't have a good plan in place. So I think that wraps it up for insurance month this time, John.
Well, we can blend insurance and fraud.
We can.
Yeah, because didn't you say enrollment just happened recently or today?
Well, enrollment transitioning to, you ever heard of Obamacare?
Unfortunately. Yes, I have.
Yeah. Well, Obamacare open enrollment started yesterday, November, well, hey. 2 days ago, actually, November 1st.
Okay.
And this is a brief, I will tell you that John and I are licensed for healthcare sales, life, health, accident license. I used to sell a lot of health insurance prior to Obamacare, and when it came about, I made the decision I will not sell it anymore because it's just ridiculous. But anyway, for those of you out there wondering what the heck is going on, and confused about Obamacare, it's interesting. Study done recently that over a quarter of registered U.S. voters believe that Obamacare was repealed.
Really?
Did you know that, John?
Wow.
So 25% of you, if you know who you are, don't raise your hand or anything, but you know,
if there's one of you
thinks it's already been repealed. But guess what? It hasn't. And 85% of the uninsured population doesn't know when enrollment starts. Well, for you 85%, it started November 1st.
A couple days ago.
So there have been significant cuts to Obamacare advertising. The advertisers, of course, don't like that because they're not getting paid for time anymore. It does make it a little more difficult for you to find out how to get covered. And if you don't take action to sign up, then you miss out. And if you don't do it during open enrollment, then you may get hit with tax penalties and as well as losing valuable insurance coverage as well as the subsidies. Open enrollment is shorter this year. Last year, I believe it extended on into February. It does
not. Well,
given
that the system is going bankrupt, they don't have money for advertising. They don't have money to keep a lot of these things going. Makes sense to me.
Well, this year, you get about 45 days. Open enrollment began November 1st, 2017. It goes through December 15th, 2017.
They'll extend it.
So you have to sign up as soon as possible if you need it. Here are the highlights of what you have to do.
You mean lowlights?
Okay, lowlights. Where you go to sign up, of course, on the federal website, healthcare.gov, is where you go out for the exchange plans, as they were. If you think you may be eligible for subsidy, you have to go through an exchange plan if you have no other choice. So you go out to healthcare.gov, you put in your information. You don't have to set up an account to kind of generally view the plans, but you can take a look at the plans. And the basic maximum income to receive subsidies this year for a household size of one individual, $48,240. So if you earn less than $48,240, you would be eligible for some subsidy. It's based on 400% of the percent of the poverty level. If you have two people in a household, you can earn up to $64,960 and be eligible for subsidy. For three, and it goes on up. For three, it's $81,000. Four, it's $98,000. If you have five folks in the house, it's $115,000 would make you potentially eligible for subsidy. You're going to have to plug all that information in on healthcare.gov for final determination. But again, you only have 45 days to do it. There are a few states, really not many, there's 12 states that actually have their own program available. But if you go through those states, Missouri is not one, Illinois is not one. So I guess that kind of eliminates the bulk of our audience. In fact, we really don't have any surrounding states. They're mostly East Coast and West Coast.
Really?
That, yeah, California, Colorado, Connecticut, District of Columbia, Idaho, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New York, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Washington, since you asked. And so those states, they actually have their own exchange, but it is not eligible for subsidy. The subsidy, the way it works, if you are income eligible and you go through healthcare.gov for your plan, then basically the government subsidizes your premium for the cost of the plan. So when you go out and look at it, it'll tell you that the max percentage of income paid that you're limited for buying your plan is anywhere from 2 to 9%, depending on your income level. What you will need for sign up before you go out to healthcare.gov or when you get ready to do it, obviously your basic demographic information, that always makes me a little nervous, John. It's the government. Trust us. Right. You have to put your name, your birth date, your Social Security, any dependent or family information in the household, home address. They will not accept a P.O. box. And the location of coverage, you know, Illinois, Missouri, wherever it happens to be. Immigrant documentation. If you or anyone in the application is a lawfully present immigrant, then you could be eligible. Information on your tax filings. You'll need to be ready to state whether you file separately, jointly. If you're married, you need to know who you've claimed for dependents. Information about employers and income. This must be provided for everyone in the household, included those not applying for coverage. Imagine that. That includes W-2 wages, salaries, tips, self-employed income, unemployment income, Social Security income, alimony, pension and retirement income, rental income, investment income, and any other taxable income. Say that three times fast. You need information on your current health coverage. You need to the details for anyone in your application, any family members who have Medicare, Medicaid, the CHIP program, or TRICARE. You have to provide information on them. So now that you've provided all that information to the government, who has, of course, the most secure database in the world.
Well, coming from experience,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I left the confines of being an employee and became self-employed and came off of COBRA, I had we had a period where we were on Obamacare. And ever since then, someone has filed our tax return on behalf of us.
Mm.
I've talked about this before on many shows, especially when we talk about this topic. So,
guys, back to fraud.
if you're going out there, just realize you will need to watch your credit very closely because, there's no security in that system.
Well, so now you've gathered all this information. So when you're ready to go out to healthcare.gov, if you're interested in the subsidy, you sign up, set up your account, you can compare plans, prices. You have to make a determination. You have to look at the various plans. You know, what is the estimated monthly premium? What is the deductible?
Which is going up.
Yeah, which is going up. They're all going up. They all have gone up. The deductible, which is what you have to pay before the plan starts paying. The out-of-pocket maximum, which is different than the deductible, any co-pays or co-insurance that apply to emergency room visits, to primary doctors, specialists, that type of thing, your estimated total yearly costs, and the medical providers and prescription drugs. That's the other thing, John, is so many of these plans, I can speak for Madison County, at least in our particular family situation. Most of the facilities and most of the doctors who we commonly go to are not covered on any of the exchange plans. So, I guess that's just the way it works.
It's amazing how it works that way, isn't it?
So November 1 to December 15th, don't forget, if you're going to sign up for Obamacare, get out there and do it. But along that same note, many of the other systems, both the healthcare provided by many of the educational employers in the area. I know several have switched. They used to have United Healthcare previously, and then Blue Cross Blue Shield came in this year and quoted bid basically to provide that coverage for different institutions and save the plan for one particular one I have intimate knowledge of, save the organization over $1 million. So now everyone has 2 weeks to elect their new plan starting November 1st. So it goes from November 1st, roughly November 15th, and you now have to go out. If you were covered under those plans for healthcare and you got the email, don't ignore it, because you have until November 15th to actually go out to your HR department website and elect which coverage that you want under the new plan. Otherwise, I guess there's two choices. They will dump you into one that is similar to what you had last year at whatever it costs, or they will remove coverage. So healthcare is nothing to fool with. You know, it's the healthy are the ones typically who want to have coverage just in case. Those are also the ones who really don't need coverage in many cases, unless right. The unexpected happens. So don't ignore it, because now is the time, you know, starting November 1, that you have to elect the new plan. I know the group plan we have at work at my office, we were notified about 30 days ago that the plan we currently have is not going to be offered next year, and that they would let us know when the quote is ready for the new plans that we'll have to go out and select. And I just got that within the last couple of days. So again, the clock is running. You have to go out and make a choice. The two things I do know is the plans are going to cost me more, mm-hmm. and the coverage is going to be less. Those facts I do know. But other than that, healthcare is a major issue. If you don't have someone you work with regularly, give us a call. I can refer you to several people who that is all they do. And anymore, if you don't have someone that is all they do, then you probably are not going to get all of the options laid out in front of you. So that's my piece I have to say regarding healthcare and Obamacare and the rest of that fiasco.
As a wise person has once said to us, the words you never want to hear from the government, we're here to help.
Yeah, we're here to help. Trust us.
So continuing with our fraud theme, unintentionally, we did want to have November be our fraud month, because when the holidays roll around, there are a lot of scams, a lot of things that you may get in the mail or internet that just seem too good to be true.
And they are.
So we want to address that, kind of get some information out there. And what we're going to do today is just kind of talk big picture. And then over the next couple of weeks, we will focus more specifically on, you know, the investment schemes and whatever it may be. And then provide you with numbers and resources to call if something has happened, where you can get help. You know, as we're talking about, identity theft will obviously be on the list. Some things you can do that don't cost you a whole lot of money to protect your credit, protect your identity.
Well, John, in addition to having a solid financial plan, which we know includes...
How did you pull... From fraud, you can just take any subject and bring it right on back to...
I am masterful. Watch it. In addition to having a solid financial plan, which must be in writing, includes specific time frames, specific objectives, has to be implemented and monitored, the monitoring part comes to mind, because this is a good time between now and the end of the year to make sure and monitor everything you have that belongs to you to prevent fraud. The first thing I would advise anyone to do, if you haven't done it in the last 6 months or so, is go out to annualcreditreport.com. That's annualcreditreport.com. Pull your credit report. You know, there are three major agencies, you know, Equifax.
Maybe two.
Equifax. Yeah. I was part of that unfortunate hack on Equifax, but
most people were.
Experian and TransUnion, pull one, or if you are suspect, pull a couple of them. But I recommend people do it every 4 months, pull one, move on to the next one, pull one, move on to the next one. That way you always have one that's within 4 months current. Check your credit report. See if there have been accounts set up on your behalf with your information that you did not authorize, because with the Equifax breach, There are risks. And along with that, after you do the credit report, check your bank accounts. As I shared with John the other day, he's laughing. It's not funny, John. About a week ago, wasn't long ago, I went out to online access.
It wasn't funny for you.
But
you're telling me the story. It was.
Yeah. So I went out online to access one of our multiple bank accounts for various companies we have. And I will not mention the bank on the air.
Can I?
No.
Okay.
But it was gone.
Oops.
And the silence you hear is about what happened when I saw that my account was no longer there. And I'm like, oh, darn, my account's gone.
You didn't say darn.
I probably didn't. And so I called the bank, and they looked for it, kept me on hold for about a half an hour, and then said, we'll get back to you on that, which didn't give me a warm, fuzzy feeling. And so later that day, I called back and said, you know, I was hoping to have heard something by now. And the individual I talked to that time looked and said, well, I see the account. I'm like, well, I'm glad you see the account, but I don't. So where's that and how are you going to fix it? And ultimately, it took another 24 hours. The next day, it magically reappeared. And I was like, where did it go and who, if anybody had access to it over the last 24 hours. And, you know, so take a look at your accounts, go out and check them, pull them up. If you do have access online, pull them up, print out, you know, a statement, and hopefully you're balancing your checkbooks every month anyway, so you have a relatively recent statement, but print out a statement of what assets you have in there, because if it disappears, you have no proof, you're going to be out of luck. And interestingly, talking to one of the other folks in our building, there were two sisters who had accounts at the same bank, and one had taken a loan out for a house recently, and after the loan closed, discovered that both sisters had been put on the loan, even though one didn't sign for it.
Mm-hmm.
So now she had a debit posted on her credit report for a house that she didn't own. That was a, and you know, the answer the bank gives is, well, it was a human error. Well, we're all human. We all make errors, but that's unacceptable.
Right.
You know, and losing accounts is unacceptable.
But you did gain some others.
Well, there were, I'm still here, so it wasn't enough money, but interestingly enough, when they.
That's the part that I was laughing
when
about.
When they fixed my account and my account reappeared, I also had access to four or five other accounts on my web access. And
it was big money.
And it was, let's just say it was seven figures.
Yeah.
And I was concerned. And I called the bank and I said, well, you know, I appreciate.
You fixed one problem.
I appreciate.
Are you the government?
Yeah, I appreciate the fact that you corrected the error, human or otherwise, that no longer gave me access to my account. But when in the process of fixing it, you also gave me access to four or five other accounts which are not mine. And being an honest person, I just would prefer that you would remove that access because I don't want it. And they were, you know, seemed surprised, but they held the bank line and said, oh, that must have been an error too. I went, You think?
And did you contact that other?
Amazingly, they fixed it pretty darn quick and indicated they would notify the other individuals whose accounts I had access to. I don't think that ever happened.
No.
Probably won't.
No.
But anyway, fraud. We're talking about fraud, John.
So there you go. There's some unintentional fraud. But
yeah.
So anyway, I just was curious. And the article I pulled up here, which is called The Pioneers of Financial Fraud. I was just curious how far back, and the first recorded fraud happened in 300 BC. And then, of course, the article does note that they probably went back to the beginning of time, that there's always an angle, there's always someone trying to.
This is only the first recorded fraud.
Yeah, so when a Greek merchant named Hegestratos took out a large insurance policy known as bottomry, basically the merchant borrows money, agrees to pay it back with interest when the cargo In this case, corn is delivered. If the loan is not paid back, the lender can acquire the boat and its cargo.
Makes sense.
So Hegestratos planned to sink his empty boat, keep the loan, and then sell the corn. Unfortunately, or fortunately, it didn't work out well for him. He drowned trying to escape his crew passengers when they caught him in the act. This is the first recorded incident as of yet, but it's safe to assume that fraud has been around since the dawn of time. So anyway, 300 BC, that's when it all started. So as we mentioned, we wanted to cover kind of general, big picture, all the different fraud cases are out there. And what I pulled up here was the top 21. And we have 10 minutes to go through the top 21. Okay. Fraud cases covered by the FBI. So we have advanced fee schemes.
Yeah, I'm one of those.
You know, and you know, the send us some money and we'll pay you, you know, $1 million because we can't cash the check or whatever.
Don't do that.
So, and again, before we get into this, if it doesn't feel right to you, if you have any slight question about anything that's being presented, if it was brought to your attention and you weren't seeking it out, or if it's too good to be true, folks, trust your instincts, trust your gut. If you have older family members, older parents, check in with them every now and then. My father-in-law got a letter that he had a relative in Spain, and I went out and Googled the company, the attorney that it was coming from, and lo and behold, a whole bunch of fraud. It had the address. I went and pulled up the address. It was supposed to be some attorney's office. It was actually a house in Spain. I Googled the house, got the map, and zeroed in on the actual picture of the house. Interesting. So you can protect yourself. So we have advance fee schemes, business fraud, obviously that. Counterfeit prescription drugs. Credit card fraud. Fraud against seniors. Just touched on that. Surprised this is on here, but I guess fraudulent cosmetic and anti-aging products. Yeah, that's one on the FBI's list.
Mm-hmm.
Funeral and cemetery fraud. We had a real big case here in St. Louis, probably.
It was huge. National Prearranged.
Right.
Yep.
That was right here in St. Louis, but that had ties to California. But yes, that was a big one. Healthcare fraud, health insurance fraud, Larry touched on that. Identity theft, we've been talking about that. Internet auction fraud. So that's when, if you're doing, what are some of those websites where you can auction? And if you have any, if the rating of the individual is pretty low and so forth.
Stay away.
Internet fraud.
A lot of that going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Untraceable, you're dealing with the ghost.
Investment fraud, covered soliciting of investments or loans. I know I get a bunch of those. You're pre-approved for this amount of loan.
Yeah, yeah.
Read the fine print. The interest rate on these things are astronomical. A letter of credit fraud, market manipulation. This is more on the penny stock, pump and dump. Nigerian letter or 419 fraud. This threat of impersonation, a variation of an advance fee scheme in which a letter is mailed or emailed from Nigeria, offers the recipient the opportunity to share in a percentage of millions of dollars.
Never seen that work, John.
No. Non-delivery of merchandise, especially this time of year, you may see a lot of that. Ponzi schemes. We have two classic examples of Ponzi schemes. Madoff, that was in the news recently.
Big one, yep.
And Social Security.
Yeah. So, one legal, one not so legal.
Right. Prime banknote fraud, pyramid schemes, which kind of gets back to the Ponzi scheme. Redemption straw man bond fraud.
You're doing good.
Reverse mortgage scams. I think reverse mortgages in general are. And then telemarketing fraud. When you send money to people you do not know personally or give personal or financial information to unknown callers, you increase your chances of becoming a victim of telemarketing fraud.
I have a couple of rules of thumb, John, and we're down to 5 minutes, so we got two or three more minutes to talk about it. We'll acknowledge our underwriters again, but I don't give money to anyone who calls me on the phone.
I don't give information, anything.
Or information in general. Number one, I don't care if they're representing the police, allegedly, or they're representing anybody else. There's been way too many examples that they are illegitimate funds, companies, and in some cases, even where they do donate some money to a particular charitable source, upwards of 90% of what you give goes to them to pay for the telemarketers. So, you know, I just tell them simply, I make my donations to those whom I want to benefit
directly.
On a local level directly, and thank you for calling. Goodbye. Don't call me again. Same thing on the internet, the same thing dealing with mailings that come in through the mail. You know, there's articles we'll talk about in the future about many of these luncheon dinner scams where, you know, you go, come on, we'll give you a free meal. Well, you know, there are no free lunches, John. They may tell you that, but they're there to sell you something. They're not acting in a fiduciary capacity, or they're going to tell you they're not acting in a fiduciary capacity. That may be in question in some of those cases now, because they really are. They just don't want to admit it.
If you weren't looking for it, you didn't ask for the contact. Stay away.
Stay away. Good advice, because otherwise you could get burnt. And I really, really feel bad for the folks who are on a limited or fixed income. They don't have a lot of money. They get talked into.
Well, older people, you know, they play the guilt card, the charity. And
well, they have, as you noted at a presentation in our recent compliance meeting, the NAFA, the National Association of Financial Industry Professionals, are now requiring a spot on account forms that anyone filling one out will find. That requires a trusted person. We now have to ask our clients if they want to designate a trusted person who may be contacted in the event that we can't reach the client or there's a question. There's a whole bunch of issues on that. How much does the trusted person need to know? What do you tell them? What about privacy laws, et cetera? So don't be surprised if your investment advisor asks you for a trusted person, which frankly, I think for an elderly, if you have someone over, 80 years old, it's probably not a bad idea to have someone available right. to be aware of their investments and what's going on. But that is a legitimate question now that has to be asked. It's got to be on our forms. So,
on a lighter note, I did promise my kids. They told me some jokes last night, and I thought it was pretty good.
Go for it.
Why do cows wear bells? This is from Liam. He's age 9. Why do cows wear bells?
So you can see them crossing the road?
Their horns don't work.
Okay,
and
John.
And why did the football player go to the bank? This is from Marlena, age 12.
I don't know. Why did the football player go to the bank, John?
She wanted to get her quarterback.
Her quarterback.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
It makes sense.
Yes.
Sometimes we don't, but that does. So,
Marlena and Liam, they were your jokes that I promised I would tell on the air today because you made me chuckle last night. Thank you very much.
And great jokes they are. So thank you for listening. You've been listening to, having a little laugh to the Financial Cafe, heard every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. till 10 a.m. on WSIE FM 88.7, The Sound. Say hi to Stephanie if she comes see you to sell you a little airtime. You can help us out. And thanks again to our underwriters, Tommy Brown. He is an enrolled agent, certified tax resolution specialist. You can reach him at 618-407-3674. We'll get Tommy back on to talk a little more about helping out folks who have run in, across the IRS. Not a good thing to do. And also the chef shop. We'll be in there. We're always in there, it seems like, John. We got to go by and see if they're actually out of thermal mugs because somebody went in recently and asked for one. They said, we don't have any more. We have t-shirts. So right now you can get a t-shirt, but we'll determine if they've given out all the mugs. We may have to order some more and get that out there. So thank you for listening. You have questions, go to our website, www.thefinancialcafe.us. Send us a message or to John Graney at nickelfinancial.com or Larry Lexo at lexo@nickelfinancial.com. We appreciate your time. Hopefully it's been helpful and give us some questions. We like answering questions on the air. Say goodbye, John.
Goodbye, John.
You've been listening to The Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop in Edwardsville, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. Listeners are invited to send your questions regarding retirement, investments, or any other financial topic that may pique your interest. Send the questions to John at jgraney@nickelfinancial.com or to Larry at llexo@nickelfinancial.com. John and Larry will discuss those questions each week during their Q&A session. If you prefer, they will respond to you in private. Thanks for listening to the Financial Cafe on 88.7 WSIE The Sound.